Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what he's doing. The Holy Spirit gave me this assignment and I thank him for it. I believe it's going to be a blessing to his people. You know, everything that the Lord instructs you to do has great important value to it. As we go forward in the Lord, seeking his face, and he reveals his instruction towards us, it makes all the difference in the world. I thank the Lord for that. I thank him for every assignment, not only that he gives me, but every assignment he gives his people. And every man and woman of God that takes him serious, that takes his instructions seriously. In the previous broadcast, the Lord shared something how the format is in the instruction that he gives you. And so many times people, they leave the format and they reach out to what they're used to. Now, in the life of Joseph, Joseph had a dream that which meant that his father and mother and his brothers would bow down and to him, as if he was in a position of authority. You know, the first one was his sheaves. You know, when they gather wheat, they'd roll it into sheaves, and every sheaf that belonged to his brother, he had 11 brothers, and they bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. And then his father and his mother, they bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. Everybody had a sheaf that they had wrapped up. And then the 12 stars and the sun and the moon bowed down to his sheaf as well. I mean, you know, to his star. And that's what it meant. Now, years went by. His brothers hated him because his father loved him. And you know the story. They put him in that pit and they sold him while Reuben was gone. And he got, the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt and sold him there. And he ended up in jail. But the format of his life was already given. And he was promoted through interpreting dreams for Pharaoh. He was second in command of Egypt. Joseph, he went from being a slave to a king. Only the Pharaoh was above him. And nobody did anything without Joseph's consent, by order of the king. And he was promoted because he continued to have a single eye toward God. Every time he had opportunity to compromise, he wouldn't do it. He stayed true. This means that if you stay true to what God gives you to do, you will bring it to pass. And the work that you do will be greater than the work that Joseph did. Because we're living after Jesus came and died. He's going to use us to win souls. He used Joseph to sustain nations so the souls could be won. Now, without Joseph's work, our work wouldn't matter because it wouldn't be. We're building on what Joseph built. We're building on what Jesus built. And now this is a more crucial time to live. Because we can live by our faith. Now, Joseph didn't have many people that he could look to pattern himself after, except for his father and his just a few people. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David. We have all these people to be inspired by. Now, this was before King David was born. This was before many people were born. This was even before Moses was born. But these men stayed true to the heart of God. You can do the same thing. And that's why on this website broadcast, we're going to talk about communication. You know, as I was finishing the last website broadcast, the Lord put this one on my heart to talk about asking God questions. Many times people don't go forward like they could go forward. It's a real simple reason they don't ask God questions. And we want to change all that. We all need to ask the Lord as many questions as we can come up with, especially what pertains to us completing God's, His will. Now, if He give you something to do and you do it, ask Him whatever questions you have about it. If He asks you to do something and you fail, take my advice. I go and I ask the Lord, "Lord, how did I fail? I didn't do everything you wanted me to do." And I start talking to Him. When I want to know something, I ask Him questions. Because He's here to guide us. And you know, this morning I realized something, that the enemy doesn't want us to dialogue with the Lord. He tried to move that out of our vision sight. Many of the pastors and leaders, most people don't go and dialogue. They go to the Word and they preach the Word. And they preach the Word to prove their points. And sometimes the points that they want to prove is not always the Word. See, there are many things that will say, I've seen good preachers do this. If they want to prove a point, they'll find the Word, and it'll look right, but it's not right. And sometimes it can be applied that way, and sometimes it's really just error. But the heart of God's Word, that's what the Holy Spirit works with. That's only what the Holy Spirit works with. The intended root meaning of the Word. And the Holy Spirit puts no spin on His Word. He speaks it as it is. So when you ask Him questions, He's going to help you find some. He may show you in the Word, and He'll show you the correct interpretation. He will never approve any error. And the light of God's Spirit will help you to be able to notice what's of Him and what's not. Because things that's not of God don't fit. And if you're not sure whether it fits or not, go back to what God did in the first place. Always go back to what God did in the first place. And then look at what He did in the end. And He didn't change between that time. Now, Jesus once made a peculiar statement saying, "Let your light shine." What good is it to take a light and put it under a bed or under a bushel? Sometimes people don't want to make waves. And they've been made, your lifestyle, your love towards mankind, it's the current meaning of God's Word in sight. In other words, people can see the Word of God in action. When you do what's right, when you love people, even though they don't love you or don't act kind towards you or they're unfair to you, but you love them anyway, and your love is consistent, and they know that, you know, if they know that you don't do something, they know that you don't, that you avoid sin. People can tell. It's obvious. Now, when they first meet you, they may think you think just like them. Most people already, right off the bat, think everybody think like them. And they'll say some coarse jokes, or they'll say something that they don't mind saying. But they, after a while, they'll notice you don't curse and you don't talk that way. And you don't put people down. All right. Sometimes to fit in, people will act like they agree with it. And they'll act like they condone it. They're putting their light under. You don't have to do that. We are designed to do what the Word of God does. The Word of God, it's, Jesus said, it's like a two-edged sword dividing apart the soul and the spirit. And when you let your light shine, when you stick with the love of God, you love Him, you live by His principles, and that's what you do, and that's all. You bring everything to a change. Now, you can tell people that Jesus is Lord and they need to be saved. Now, but when you live according to His ways, you have a louder voice in their sight. And the Holy Spirit will show you how to win people. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. It's what you consistently do. And you know, I look at a soul as being precious, and I already, you know, I want to win. I want to win people to the Lord. I don't always know how to start a conversation with them. You know, the Lord anointed me to be an apostle, not an evangelist. Evangelists, they can do it. They can do it so easy because they have God's ability to do it. All right. I have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. If, you know, he didn't commission me to go do that. Now, if the time come I have to do the work of an evangelist, then he'll anoint me to do it. But I can represent him as a Christian, just like you do. I can represent him. I can do whatever he give me to do. And when he put his words in my mouth towards for somebody, I just speak them. That's easy. But some people are gifted to do these things. But we all live the light. And we live the light of his word. And when we consistently live in according to his word, it puts people, it exposes everything. It destroys the hiding places. And when it happens, let it happen. Don't worry about it. People take their position. You took your position and stick with it. Now, if you put a candle under a bed, you'll burn the bed up. In other words, if you use what God gives you for his intended purpose, it will work. If you use it for something that it's not designed for, you know, it can be destructive. There's no reason to hide the light. If you try to quell the light and hide the work that God is doing in you, it confuses people. They're not sure if you believe what you believe or not. You have to go forward. And when people say things, they know they're wrong. And sometimes they do wrong to test you. But whatever they do, that it doesn't matter. Do what you do. But back to the questions. When the Lord explained things and opened things up to us, it's our duty to regard it. Now, every word of God, we have to receive it. And we want his word ultimately in our heart. Where then we'll believe it and we'll speak it. And if we're strong enough to speak it, then we will end up acting on it. That's the way everything works. See, the world system is infection. It's like leaven. There's a persuasion out there to get you to disobey God. In every case, to the point that you curse God and die. That's all the devil wants. Every temptation is designed to distract you from the Lord, to get you in sin, to live in his territory so he can make you mad at God. And then he wants you to curse God and die and be a full member of his kingdom. And he's going to burn you up. You'll never get water again. You'll never enjoy time again. It's a bad deal. You don't have to take it. Nobody does. Well, Christians don't do that. All Christians go to heaven. If they stay in heaven, if they stay in the kingdom of God, they do. You can walk in and out of the kingdom at your will. This is a volunteer army. You know, and there's no reason to be a cowardly soldier in the Lord's house. I'm here because I want to be here. I don't want to be in Satan's crooked world. I don't even like the world. And I got into a point, I hate his temptations too. I see him for what it is. And I learned to do that through talking to the Lord, not man. Because man didn't know how to do this. Not when I was trying to learn these things. I didn't know anybody that could tell me what the Lord told me. So when your life, and what I'm saying is, when you can receive, when you ask the Lord questions, he's going to give you answers. He's going to give them to you. Now, I'm going to read something that I referred to. I didn't have time to go into it, but I'm going to read this in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. Isn't that good? David was anointed to be king. And these famines kept coming. And David, wait a minute, this is not normal. The third year, David, he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore, David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us, and that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, woman whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. And he delivered them unto the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days of the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. And it was told David that Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethlehem, where the Philistines had hanged them. Then the Philistines had slain Saul in Gibeah, Gilboa. The Philistines had hanged them, and when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa, not Gibeah, but Gilboa. Okay, verse 13, and he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zaliah, in the sepulchre of Kish, his father, and they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Now, when people break covenants all the time, and we see here that broken covenants can cost you. The Lord doesn't like people to break covenant. If you sign your name to pay for something, pay for it. Don't break covenant. It doesn't turn out too good. And don't give your words. Don't give your word too loosely. Think about what you're going to do. Make sure you mean to do it. And as a rule, I told my children, don't ever co-sign for anybody, because Proverbs tell you not to do it. But you know, And sometimes people can see that you have strong character and you want to do right, and they'll try to get you to commit to something. And even in business, people try to get me to commit. And I can't always promise them. I let them know what I'm doing and what I can and can't do, and that's the way it is. But some people can be cunning, so they want you to do what they want you to do. And if you give your word, then you've given it. So I ask the Lord questions about things like that. So we need His interaction in our life if we're going to complete His will. And remember, the enemy doesn't want you to complete the will of God. And he uses distractions of the world. Distractions get you to commit to something that you don't need to commit to. And sometimes it'll take the Lord to get you out of those commitments properly. You know, if you get in a commitment, you got to get out of it properly. Or you got to keep your word. So look at things according, you know, we need His insight. And every night before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, is there a scripture? Every day I want Him to teach me something. And just last night I said, Lord, I want You to teach me something. Whatever You want to talk about, I want to learn something. I said, You've been having me do these website broadcasts, and I just want you to teach me something. And he led me to a scripture. And he showed me something I'd never seen before. And we just need His interaction. And the only way to learn from Him is to ask Him questions. And I'll ask Him anything because I know He loves me. And the more I hear from Him, the more I understand, the more I can cooperate. We are people. We're not going to trust somebody we don't know, even if it's God. Even if it's the Holy Spirit, we have to. That's how you get to know Him. Believe Him in your situations until you finish it, until you complete it. And I saw something the other day. When you believe God, reject all forms of doubt. Hate it. In Mark 11:24, Jesus acted like you could doubt not at your will. And one day I saw that I caught what he said. I said, it's like you can choose not to doubt. Now I'm going to read the scripture. And sometimes the Holy Spirit say things for a reason. And when you go back and study exactly how he said it opens up and it helps you to go forward. Now, see, it started with that fig tree Jesus cursed. Verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter called it to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, that's like saying have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, watch this, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now that looks like refusal. Okay, you believe, you're taking God at his promise, because he gave us authority over the earth. Now you said to your mountain, be removed, be thou cast to the sea, and you refuse to doubt in your heart. You reject every influence of doubt and unbelief. And this mountain has to obey you because you spoke in faith. And it's got to go and be put in the sea. Now, this is big to us. This is not something that men do at this time or even now. People don't realize that they can do that. And Jesus said this. This was literal now. You can speak to a mountain, it will be removed and put in the sea for you. Now that covers everything. That's why he said that. If you can do that, you can believe God for whatever you want. He put us in charge of the earth. The earth has to do what we say. And we govern after the pattern of God. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and Adam was supposed to use his faith and his dominion over the animals to make the whole world look like that. And that's what he wanted to do. And because the Lord wants you to take what he give you and make it and do something with it. He already had the instruction to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. He already had the pattern. He wasn't going to go and just do things haphazardly. He was going to do it because it needed to be done. And when you operate according to the character of God and the word of God, and you speak in faith, this got to happen. And the Lord gave us this earth. He didn't give us Mars. You know, people want to go to Mars. Now, this is just a little sidetrack. He didn't give us authority on Mars. Our jurisdiction is here. So if you make it to Mars, I don't really know what happened up there. But your authority is here. Why leave your realm? Anyway. But you see the point. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, the word shall is stronger than the word will. You put the demand out there in your faith, and you refuse to doubt in your heart, then heaven's going to back you up. It's got to happen at that point. It cannot be any other way. If the devil can't get you to doubt in your heart, then it's got to happen. So when the Lord speak to you, refuse the doubt side of it. Refuse the unbelief. Refuse the lack of experience. Who cares how God does it? I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a creator. I am a man that God created. Believe in God who creates. So when I get sick or anything goes wrong, it's my responsibility to believe God. And he will back his word up. And how he does it, who cares? I'll learn that later. I just thank him for it right now. Because I need to be healed so I can do his work. That's my concern. I don't care how he does it. If I'm missing a limb, you can believe God and he can do a creative miracle and give you your limb back, your eye back, or whatever. There's no limit with God. And I thank the Lord for that. He has so much to say, and we have so much to learn. When we ask him questions, it gives him a chance to teach us, train us, comfort us, and be the blessing that he desires to be. As you faithfully ask the Lord your questions, he's going to answer you, and you're going to love the answers he gives. He knows how to relate to you and talk to you and help you see. He knows how to reach you. He knows what makes you tick. And this is something that I learned about the Lord in following him, in dialoguing with him. And I watch how he uses me as a minister. When he addresses an audience, he considers everything. He knows who's there. He knows what they need. He knows who's about to commit suicide. He knows what people are going through in their marriage, homes, whatever. He knows the challenges of the students. And when he give a word, it can address every concern. If you have if you speak what he say and have the time to develop it. Now, when people disregard the guidance of God and they preach what they want to preach, then you'll only get the good of the word. But when the Lord guides you, it's stronger. when he guides you, you can do so much more. And when he teaches you and instructs you, he'll prepare you for the people who are at their weakest, who need his guidance. Those that are strong, he will encourage your same message will encourage those who love God, and it will inspire those who don't know him, and it will comfort those who are in trouble. That's why the Lord gave me all those words about following him. Now, but it was a common practice. People preach what was popular. Men preach what make them feel good. And sometimes the Lord will use them. He'll put something strong on their heart, and then they'll say it, and it'll hit the spot for somebody. But I knew that they could do this all the time, currently, even at their will. You can always yield to the Lord if you want to. And so the message God gave me for them was to do that. But they never seen anybody do what I was describing in those letters that God would give me to write. But they had a witness, because the Lord would give me a word about following him. And then when I get there, they'll be preaching. The Lord knew what they were going to preach. And many times, what they were saying in their message, the Lord had me write it at home. Some of the same identical thoughts of their message. But it was structured to show them the need to follow him and his guidance. That way they could cooperate with what God was doing. And he was going to shape their ministry the way he wanted, not the way they were trying to shape it. Because the format's in the instruction. See,